Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Rahul Mahajan, sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. Hi, Rahul.
Hi, Sonali.
With hours left before a deadline to sign an interim agreement, U.S. and Iranian negotiators continued talks in Lausanne, Switzerland over the weekend and through today. Representatives from Britain, France, Russia and China have also been involved in the so-called P5 plus one talks. A major sticking point seems to be how to dispose of Iran's current stockpile of uranium. While there have been reports that Iran might agree to transport its uranium to Russia, Iranian officials vehemently maintain they would not agree to such a move. Discussions also center on how much nuclear technology research Iran can conduct and how fast international sanctions can be lifted. The deadline for a framework agreement is tomorrow, with final talks scheduled for June. Newly re-elected Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has vociferously criticized the talks, labeled them the Iran-Lausanne-Yemen axis. Rahul, this is the closest the UN and Iran, U.S. and Iran have come to an agreement in over a decade. Do you think that there might be success?
Well, it's always hard to guess, but in this case, I'm going to guess probably not. The United States is already lowballing the possibility of success, which is never a good sign for a party to the talks. And I think also Iran is still going to have to figure out how to react to what seems like the sudden potential emergence of some kind of Arab military unity directed against what are widely seen as Iranian proxies in the region. And so a sort of single-minded focus of the United States on stripping Iran of any kind of nuclear capability, whether it's for power generation or anything else, is not going to be seen by them as a sensible sort of set of priorities. They're going to be wanting to talk more about the balance of power in the region. So my guess is no, things are not going to succeed.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next few days and, of course, in June. Controversy over Indiana's newly passed Religious Freedom Restoration Act mounted fiercely over the weekend, with many figures denouncing a potential legalization of anti-gay discrimination. Angie's List put on hold a planned expansion in Indianapolis. Basketball star Charles Barkley said discrimination in any form is unacceptable to me ahead of a final round of NCAA games, which are based in the state. Apple CEO Tim Cook wrote an op-ed against the law in the Washington Post. The mayors of Seattle and San Francisco announced a travel boycott of the state by their cities. There were street protests and social media protests under the hashtag Boycott Indiana. Governor Mike Pence, who signed the law last Thursday, appeared on ABC, where he defended it, saying he would not change it. He refused to give a straight answer to whether the law would allow businesses to deny services to the LGBT community. The state of Georgia, which was considering a similar law, has put their process on hold in response to the backlash against Indiana. Well, Rahul, I'm very heartened to see such pushback from all sectors of society. Do you think that the reaction to Indiana's bill can send a strong message to other states to not consider passing such bills?
Well, I mean, it certainly sent a strong message, and I think that some states where things are, sort of on the fence may think twice about passing a bill. But I'm not incredibly sanguine about the long-term prospects for two reasons. One is that increasingly, radical right-wing Republicans have shown that opposition simply hardens and confirms them in the course they have already set. And secondly, I think it's bothersome that almost all of the opposition to the bill has focused on the question of gay rights. Now, it's true that that's going to be, sort of a primary area of focus of enforcement, and is the reason that these bills are being passed now. But if you actually read the bill and similar bills, what they really are is a blueprint for denying the secular authority of the government, as the ultimate authority over religious individual right. Religious considerations. So that's not going to go away. If they put in some language about civil rights, there may not be much protest about the rest of it.
And finally, a new Reuters Ipsos poll on how Americans view threats to the United States has revealed a bizarre set of priorities, particularly among Republican respondents. The poll of nearly 3,000 adults in the U.S. found that 34% of Republicans see President Barack Obama as a bigger threat to the United States than Russian President Vladimir Putin or Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Meanwhile, just under a quarter of Democrats saw the GOP as a threat, while 27% of Republicans saw the Democratic Party as a threat. Most feared internationally, was the Islamic State, followed by Al-Qaeda, North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un, and Iran's religious leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The issue that is likely to be a real threat to everyone, climate change, was not ranked very high on the list, with Democrats more likely to fear it than Republicans. Well, Rahul, clearly such polls themselves are problematic, but do you see the results of this survey as indicative of how our media leads public opinion to be so utterly skewed away from reality?
Well, you know, although it is true that American public opinion is highly divorced from reality, especially on the Republican side, I have to say there is a kernel of truth in this comparison between Obama and Putin and Assad, which is to say that, you know, at the end of the day, the United States is a very powerful country and has only minimal things to fear from outside forces, internal political powerful forces, whether the president or somebody else, can be a lot more of a threat to the American way of life than especially people like Putin or Assad, who have not even enunciated any threats to America and, in fact, should be rated rather low on a poll like that.
Well, Rahul, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Rahul Mahajan is a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.